Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
You understand? See, I'm trying to be addicted to Jesus. I just need more of him every day. I'm trying to get a shot of that word. You understand what I'm saying? In my heart, every day I'm trying to get a shot of the word. I'm trying to get a dose of the word. I'm trying to get high off of the word of God. I'm trying to get high off of the love of God. You understand? But at our core, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, we're all addicts. Just open up. I pray you'll open your minds. I pray that God will open up the eyes of your heart, which is your understanding. And I pray that God will open up your ears, that you would have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would speak unto us as we stand proxy for the church. Amen. All right. Let me go here first. I'm going to go to Romans chapter number 7 first. Can you do this for me? Are you able to give me, we don't usually do this, but I'm going to step way out the box today. Are you able to give me the New Living Translation? Huh?
Yeah.
Give me the New Living Translation for Romans chapter 7. Right? While he's finding that, let me just get into my foundational work, right? Like we said, addiction. This is Merriam-Webster's definition. I have two definitions for the word addiction. Number one is, it is a strong and harmful need to regularly have something such as a drug or do something such as gamble. Definition number two for addiction is an unusually great interest in something or a need to do or have something. So you're seeing in both definitions, you see the substance as well as the behavior. All right? Romans chapter number 7, we're going to start at verse number 13. Right? You don't have to stand up. I'm going to just roll. I'm just going to roll, right? So we gave you the two types of addiction, right? Substance addiction, and then there's behavioral. Also known as process addiction, right? And when we say behavior or process addiction, we're talking about when a person is dependent upon, you know, the pleasurable feelings that certain behaviors bring. For example, gambling. Right? It's a high that people feel.
All right.
When they gamble.
7-Eleven.
Right? You know, that shake them up. You understand what I'm saying? Or if you go into one of the, like you said, 7-Elevens, and you, hey, give me that jackpot number 7. You get a certain high when you start scratching off stuff. You're anticipating that beneath this scratchy little surface, whatever it is, I'm about to get a jackpot. You understand? So simply put, at the core, simply put, because we understand what Merriam-Webster is saying and all these different things, but I'm going to tell you what God told me. Simply put, addiction is nothing more than idolatry. Whatever you are addicted to, it has become an idol. Whether it's substance or whether it's behavior, it is an idol. Something that you are dependent upon. It is something that you look towards to bring about feelings. You know, they talk about the dopamine and all these different things that take place, these chemical reactions that happen in your brain when you're dealing with substance addiction. Same thing takes place when it's behavioral. There are chemical reactions that are released that make you feel good. Notice when we talked about pleasure, we said, when we talked about behavior, we talked about pleasurable feelings. Oh, I know it's church, y'all, but this is the safest place to talk about truth and deal with real issues. And I don't know about you, even though pastor, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost, spending fire, baptized, I still like to feel good. I know I'm not by myself. I know I'm not. You like to feel good too. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, right? So we're going to get into this book of Romans, right? In chapter 7, Paul is talking about the law. Struggling with the law, how sin has used the law. Something that is good. But the enemy has found the means to use something that is good to actually use it in a way to take an advantage of me, right? And so Paul is wrestling. And you and I, we're all familiar with this wrestle that Paul is talking about. Do you have it? Huh? I was looking and I don't see it yet. So I can't necessarily go by my tablet. My tablet is still on KJV. That's New Living? Lord, Mike. Then what you gonna read? Oh, you gonna listen? Oh, that mercy, Jesus. Yeah, because I can't even find the number right now. I'm just, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I am. It was going to take me a minute to find that number, though. All right. Stepping all the way out the box. We don't usually teach from other versions of the Bible, but I'm stepping out the box today. It says, but because I want to make sure you understand what Paul is talking about in chapter number 7 of this book of Romans, right? He says, but how can that be, right? Mind you, they're questioning the legitimacy of the word or the law, whether or not the law is good or whether or not it's bad. Is the law bad? And he said, how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my death? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation to death. So we can see how terrible sin really is, right? He wants you to see how terrible sin really is, the fact that it's able to use something that is good. Because we understand the law, God uses the law to show us what sin is, right? The law describes to us what sin is. So if you were ever confused about what sin is, all you got to do is read the law, right? He said, but this, he's showing you just how terrible sin really is. It uses God's good commandments for his own evil purposes, right? Go, Mike. Verse number 14, he says what? Oh, this is getting tricky, Mike. I better pull out my phone. Mike, they might be messing up my momentum, Jesus. Messing up my momentum. Thank you, Lord. Somebody give him a praise right there. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wonderful saving. I got other books pulled up on my phone in the Bible. Just give me a second, y'all. Give me a second. All right. Verse 14. So he said, so the trouble is not. Unbelievable. I go through all of that. Now, nobody tried to help me say it's on the screen. Oh. So the trouble is not with the law, right? So, you know, this whole, are we under the law, under the grace? So we understand the law, it is not bad, right? So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and it is good. So we understand that the law, it is spiritual and it is good. The trouble is with me, Paul is saying. This is why I love Paul. See, Paul, he was not afraid and he was not apologetic to talk about the real Paul. You understand what I'm saying? He has all the credentials that one would love to have and boast about, you understand, to be a Christian. I'm talking about he wrote the majority of the New Testament. This man is well educated, citizen of the Roman Empire, all these different things, as well as a Jew. But here he's saying it's the trouble, it is me. It's not so much the word, but the trouble is me. And how many times you thought the trouble was God's will, or how many times you thought the trouble was God's purpose of your life, or the call of God? No, the trouble is not God's will. It is not the call of God. It is not the purpose of God. The real trouble is the real you. Oh, can we come to the table and talk about the real issues that we really deal with? Oh, talk about your stubbornness that you really deal with. Talk about the rebellion that you really deal with. Talk about the selfishness that you really deal with. The real issue is not the law, it's not the word, but the real issue, it is you and I. You and I of the real problem. Oh yes, I know you don't want to identify or call yourself a problem. You don't want to say you're the issue, you're the reason why things are not coming together. No, you're the reason. I love it. The Apostle Paul said, it is me, the trouble is with me. He said, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. He's talking about it's my flesh that I'm having to wrestle with every day. You understand what I'm saying? What he's telling you is this flesh does not want to come subject to the will of God. I know who I am. I'm called to be an apostle. God saved me on my way on the road to Damascus. I had a true encounter with God. But even though I had an encounter with God, do you understand? Every day I'm wrestling with this flesh of mine. Every day I'm wrestling with other decisions that are wrestling around in my head, that are spinning around in my head. I'm wrestling with imaginations and fantasies and things that I want to do that are contrary to the will of God, contrary to the word of God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. It's this flesh that rises up many days. It's this flesh that rises up in the morning when I should be pound praying, but I want to continue to lie down in bed and don't give God no time. You understand what I'm saying? It's this flesh that wants to rise up when I should crucify my flesh and begin to fast, but I'm somewhere putting some food in my mouth. You understand? And I'm so insensitive to the voice of God, to the spirit of God. You understand what I'm talking about? Why? Because this flesh is rising up and it's causing me to do things. It makes me a slave to sin. Sin has dominion over us. When you find yourself yielding to sin, it now has dominion over you. It has power over you. And what a deception how we think that, okay, you can stop certain things in your life. I guarantee you, you talk to an addict will tell you all the time, oh, I can stop when I want to stop. And the addict would tell you, nah, I'm not addicted. And the addict would tell you, I don't have no problem. But us on the outside looking in saying, oh, what a deception. And we told you the worst kind of deception is self-deception. You understand what I'm talking about? You deceiving yourself thinking you really don't have a problem. You deceiving yourself thinking you are not hooked on this. We're not talking about no hooked on fun. We're talking about hooked on drugs. And we're talking about hooked on your behavior issues. You understand what I'm saying? That brings you pleasure right here. Oh, don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff. I say don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff. And how many times when you go to talk to an addict about the drug of choice, you actually start stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you can't talk to them about the drug of choice, guess what? To them in their eyes, you are start something. Give me verse 15, Mike. Give me verse number 15. He says, I don't really understand myself. Who's going to be man or woman up to say that right there? I know you think you got a good handle on who you are. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You think you understand you. You think you know what you like and what you want, when you want it and how you want it and all these different things. But the reality, just like Paul said, I really don't understand myself. And the last time I checked, I had to agree. God, I really don't understand myself, God. My desire is to please you, God. But more and more I tell myself, God, that I want to please you, God, the more and more these evil and wicked desires try to rise up in my flesh, God, the more and more, God, I have evil and wicked intentions, God, and motives on the inside that I'm wrestling with every day, God. We learned the other day, it's not just good enough to put the armor on. He said, but take unto you the armor of God, meaning you better use the armor. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. You can't just put it on, but you better use the armor. Why? Because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, See, there is a wrestle against spiritual and principalities in the realm of the spirit. But the truth of the matter is, I wish somebody would go ahead and talk about that wrestle that you must wrestle with when you're wrestling yourself, when you're wrestling your own evil desires, when you're wrestling your own evil imaginations, when you're wrestling your own evil fantasies, when you're wrestling your own wickedness on the inside, your own perversions, your own selfishness, your own stubbornness, your own hatred and envy, your own jealousies and all these different things. I wish somebody would go ahead and talk about it. I really don't understand myself. I thought I was okay with certain people, but the more and more people try to get close to me, the more and more I want to isolate myself, the more and more I want to do away with people, the more and more I want to push people away, the more and more I think I want to be by myself. But you really don't understand who you are. You lie to yourself talking about how much you love people and talking about how much you want to be around people, but the reality is you really don't understand yourself, how much you need to feel their physical touch, how much you need to be embraced, how much you need to be loved, how much you need to be encouraged, how much you need to be touched. Oh, I wish somebody would go ahead and help me. You really don't understand yourself. But what I want to do, for what I want to do, what is right, I want to do right. Oh, is there anybody? I know you want to do right, because you were brought up to do right. You were brought up to do the right thing. Even when the wrong thing is done to you, still do what is right. But what I found that sometimes is painful. It ails you to do right when somebody has done you wrong. Because there are a lot of times you feel like you're the only one that's doing right. How long, God, will you allow them to do wrong to me, God, and keep telling me to do what's right, God? How long, God, will they be the one, God, that's being foul, God, but yet I got to go and say, forgive me. I got to go and apologize, God, when I'm not the one who did anything, God. How long, God? I want to do right, but I don't do it. I told myself, because the reality, we already know we got an issue with some people on the job, in the house, and some of us are just straight up addicted to showing our tail, addicted to acting the slam fool. Oh, yes, you are. Addicted to cussing folk out. Yeah, you told yourself, if they get on my nerves this time, if they say something foul this time, I'm shutting my mouth, shutting my mouth. You tried to give them an opportunity, but they kept on pressing your buttons. They kept on pushing you, and they push you till you cross that line. And you said, let me tell you something, you mother. Y'all not gonna help me right there. You stupid son of a. You better go sit your crazy down somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? I wanted to do right, but I found myself doing wrong. I had evil communication. You call yourself a Christian, but you cussing folk out. Call yourself a Christian when folk get on your nerve, you around here balling your hand up because you're ready to swing on something. Y'all not gonna help me right there. Yeah, there were some people that know how to push your buttons. I'm talking about what try you, make you step all out of character. No, what happened to the sweet little girl? What happened to the sweet, mild-mannered little girl? No, that's when you say, what? Who is that? He said, instead, I do what I hate. Somebody say, I love the truth. Tell me the truth. No matter if it hurt me, tell me the truth. I love the truth all day, every day. I love the truth. Tell me the truth. Give me the truth. You understand what I'm saying? But when your back is up against the wall, it's funny how you don't love the truth when the truth should come out your mouth. Oh, you think it's okay to tell a little white lie. You think it's okay to tell a little black lie. There's no such thing as a white or a little black lie. A lie is just that. It is a lie. Oh, what a deception. You hate the truth. Because when the truth comes to you to challenge you, you say, hey, you need to change your attitude. If you love the truth, then why are you offended? If you love the truth, then why you go on the defense when the truth comes to challenge you? The reality, the truth is showing you that you lied to yourself. You hate it. But I ain't planning to go this way. I didn't plan to go this way. I didn't plan to go this way, right? Give me verse number 16, Mike. I'm trying to work my way through. He said, because see, this is, we're talking about impulse, right? When you don't have no impulse control, you understand what I'm saying? When you just make impulsive decisions because your flesh is pulling on you to do this right here. But I know that what I am doing is wrong. See, it's nothing like having an understanding what you're doing is wrong. See, an addict, they know what they're doing is wrong, but they have no conviction about what they're doing is wrong. That's why an addict, they would steal your baby diapers if you let them, you know, to feed their house. Oh, yes, they would. An addict would take your rent money if you leave it in plain sight. Why? To feed their habit. And won't feel no conviction and act like ain't nothing happened. What? I ain't see no money. Oh, we can tell by the twitch in your finger. Stop rubbing your fingers together. We can tell by your fast walk. One thing about an addict, though, especially those on substance abuse, they got a boldness. You want to buy this? Rejection doesn't move them. You tell them no, they right on to the next person. Hey, you want to buy this? I'm just saying. Y'all know I ain't lying. Y'all know I'm not lying. And you're trying to figure out some of the gifts. Where did you get this from? Where did you get this from? How were you able to tuck that in your shorts? I mean, how are you able to walk that fast with that large object hidden in your shirt and shorts? These are things that I thought about. I wondered about, like, he got a secret compartment? How he pull a broom out of shorts? And you wanna buy a broom? What? Where did he get that from? Y'all act like I'm playing. Y'all know some of them addicts, now you stop that at the red light and they come right up to your car. Hey. I'm just saying. He said, but if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. If I know that what I am doing is wrong, it shows that the law is good. When I understand what I'm doing is wrong, when I understand that my behavior, my actions are detrimental, not just to myself, but those that love me, when I understand it, it shows that the law, it is good. If you haven't caught on by now, this table talk is about intervention. Because see, some of y'all need godly intervention in your lives. Oh, yes, you do. You need divine intervention in your life. So it's time to talk real talk, table talk. Because like we said, most of us are addicts at our core. I ain't hit you yet, but I'm finna walk down your alley right now. I'm about to walk down your road right about now, Amanda Bear, right about now. What? Okay, you say, well, nah, that's not me. He not talking to me. I'm not an addict. I don't struggle with no abuses. My behavior's in check. I'm okay. Then guess what? We about to see with your behavior. Because guess what? Maybe you did not know. Maybe you couldn't identify. Maybe you are an addict to cell phone use or social media. If you can't put your cell phone down, you understand what I'm saying? Because I guarantee you, some of you already done checked your cell phone while you in church. You understand? But I'm saying that little buzz in your pocket. Oh, all that thing is pulling on you because you're trying to figure out what was the latest post on Facebook, what was the latest picture posted on Instagram, that little buzz, you can't hardly, you're trying to hear this word, but you fight, there is a fight, there is a fight. You understand, I'm looking crazy. Trying to scroll on the low low. What it goes to show you is your phone is an idol. Because we say at its core, addiction, simply put, is idolatry. Phone is an idol to you. Can't live without your phone. Notice how you go into panic mode when you left your charge at the house and your phone is down to 15%. Oh my God. Oh, I got to buy a charger. You wanted to go spend money just so you can have access to the internet, Facebook, Instagram. You understand? Because your phone is an idol. Oh, y'all not going to be real. You're addicted to your phone. Can't even come to the table and have a family meal without the phone. When was the last time y'all had a family meal without the phones being laid on the table? Pss, pss. All kind of ringtones and noises for different phones to let you know that somebody's chiming in. Boop, boop. Click, click. Raindrops. Boop, boop. You know, with all these high-tech sounds we can put on the phone. Some of y'all phones roar like lions and bark like dogs and stuff. I don't know. I'd be like, what is all of that? You understand? I just got TikTok on my. I just got some TikTok, whatever that is. You understand? But when's the last time you was able to come put the phone down? When was the last time you were able to have a real conversation without your cell phone?
Huh? Wait, what'd you say?
I mean, since it is up here.
What'd you say? I heard you.
What did I say?
I heard you. You talking about I need to walk the dog.
We don't have a dog. You talking about walk the dog?
No, you did say that.
And see, you wonder why people don't want to have conversations in the homes no more, because this has become your idol. You can't have a conversation without this being included. See, we don't even realize how this has brought division in households. We can't even get an understanding between the two of us because that. See, oh, I love it when Tupac say, he was talking about me and my girlfriend. Y'all know Tupac was my dog. Y'all know Tupac was my dog. He said, me and my girlfriend. He was making reference to a gun, right? But for some of y'all, this is your girlfriend. This is your boyfriend. This is who you truly married to right here. You addicted to it. It has become an idol. Notice. You cannot leave. You cannot go anywhere without it. You can leave your phone at home and you 10 minutes before pulling in your job and you would turn all the way around. I left my phone. I'm going to be late because I got to get my phone. I can't be without my phone. Am I talking? Am I being real, y'all? No, we're talking about real table talk, right? The phone has a hold on you. I know you're unwilling to say it, but the phone has a hold on you. Every sound goes off. You checking it. Checking it. Put it down. I'm talking about, it's to the point where people are so addicted to their phone. Do you understand that they call text neck? There was a new symptom called text neck, a diagnosis, what they're talking about, meaning because you keep your neck in this position right here, it puts a strain on these muscles to now people are actually diagnosing you. They call it text neck.
No, I'm telling you a real thing. When I went to the dude who massaged me, he said, because I had that same issue, he was like, nigga, you be in your phone? No, I don't be in my phone like that. You know I don't be in my phone like that, man. I got issues down in my back muscle. I know how to put my phone down. It don't have no hold on me like that. Oh, I'm about to go somewhere. I might get in trouble, but I'm about to go there since I'm already here. Because we told you this is just a handheld computer. Can't somebody say, computer love? Computer love. Woo. I was waiting on you to pick it up. You ain't gonna pick it up? Man of God, now you had the one opportunity to play something secular doing it. It was just a test. It was just a test. He passed, y'all. Y'all ought to give God praise for that. I'm telling you. A couple years ago, Nate would have played that thing. He would have put the little, he would have put the microphone, he would have gave him a little bit of that Roger. I was like, ah, that's it right there. Don't do it. Don't do it, Nate. Don't do it. See, that shows growth right there. That shows maturity. You didn't take the bait. Yes, I was. You know I do everything. There's a method to why I do it. I was trying to see. Is he going to take the bait? Computer love. But that's all it really is, computer love. If it's not a phone, it's a tablet. If it's not a tablet, it's an iPad, iPhone, iPod, iMac, Toshiba, whatever all this stuff called. Something. I'm trying to think of the... You know what I'm trying to say. Samsung, Android, I don't know. But I'm just saying, all of this is computer love. Some of you are more interested in your handheld computer than the people, the real people that are right in your life. Right? Social media has a hold on you. You're so caught up in what the next post or the latest post is. I can't handle that. I get tired of people talking about, hey, this is, I'm about to eat, or hey, I'm hungry. Nobody care that you hungry. If I really knew how to work Facebook, I probably have one friend, my mama. And even that get tricky. Because now she on there talking about, mama! Mommy was about to be 70 years old. You're about to be 70 years old, mama. Some stuff you shouldn't even entertain. No, I'm just saying, I'm not, y'all know some of y'all are friends with my mom. My mom, she's not going to entertain nothing crazy. You understand? But there were some people, mother, who entertain crazy stuff. There were some mothers who just, they're addicted to this stuff. In other words, they are addicted to drama. Woo. You don't believe in it. What's wrong with living a drama-free life? Now, see, some people are so addicted to drama, they don't know what life is without drama. It is a fear that if I don't have this chaos around me, life is not right if I don't have certain chaos around me. They're afraid of peace. I know y'all ain't gonna help me right there. But then what about this one right here? There were some people who are actually addicted to exercise, which goes back to their self-esteem, which goes back to their self-worth. Too much exercise is not good for you. Now, I wish I could be addicted to exercise just for a good month. Just for a good month to get everything back tight and toned up. You understand? Just for a good month. But there were some people, I'm talking about everything is right. And they still going hard. They feel like, okay, I have not exercised until I leave this gym sore. What? There are some people who are literally addicted to exercise. It's becoming more of a thing. People are actually being diagnosed having an addiction to exercise, right? Okay, maybe that's not you. Because some saints are lazy. They don't need us lying. Some of us are lazy. But I'm about to walk down your road right here on the exercise some of us get is. You are a foodie. You are addicted to food. I want to feel good. So I eat. All you think about is food. Lord, a Pizza Hut commercial cannot come on without you think lusting after Pizza Hut. Oh, man, I think I want some pizza. You understand what I'm saying? The next food commercial come on, now you think you done jump from Pizza Hut to this food. You are addicted to food. You know all the new foods come out. You know all the new Twinkies, all the new Debbie little cookie cakes that came out. You like, hey, you tried this? What is that? That's the new little Debbie, man. You gotta get that. That's the new little what? What? Let me ask you a question. Have you gone to the dentist about cavities or that sugar? I'm just telling you the truth, right? If it's not that, you better say it, Joseph. Say it, Joseph. Help us preach. Help us preach. If you're not addicted to food, then maybe you have an addiction to porn or... See, y'all were playing with me before. I was up here working hard. I'm sweating all under this black. Now everybody want to talk. Amen. So we hitting on something right now with this porn. Oh, we got some porn addicts in the church. Struggling with porn in the church. Can't really hear the word because you're struggling with some of the images you saw on the screen. And see, most of y'all are sophisticated porn watchers. You understand somebody gonna check the history on the computer. So you say, you know what? I'm gonna watch porn on my little handheld computer where I got a code. They can't just get past my code. And some of y'all, you say, you know what? I'm gonna let this thing scare my eyes. So I know they can't get in my... Oh, some folk are that serious. If you didn't let the phone scare your eye, oh, you putting your fingerprint on this thing because you're trying to make sure nobody can get in and check your history. But you know what I found out about porn? It allows you to flow in fantasy. It allows you to flow in vain imagination, right? And what y'all are not telling folks, see, in porn, and when you're dealing with fantasy and imagination, see, when it's yours, and definitely with masturbation, same thing. I want to know, because all you're doing is making love to your hand. You're making love to your hand. You understand what I'm saying? But while you're making love to your hand, you are imagining that this is someone performing an act on you. So it allows you to enter into vain imagination or fantasy, right? And see, what y'all really not saying, when you're struggling with vain imaginations or fantasy, in my fantasy, there is no rejection. In my fantasy, I ain't got to worry about nobody telling me no. In my fantasy, I can do whatever I want to do in my fantasy, how I want to do it. Because see, guess what? Freaks come out in fantasy. They don't just come out at night. Freaks come out in fantasy. And in my fantasy, I can do it when I want, how I want. Flip you up, turn you this way, hit it that way, go in that hole. Oh, y'all not going to talk to me. I can go in that hole right there. Yes, I can. You can go in this hole right. Y'all not going to talk to me. But we gonna talk some truth right there. Oh, I ain't got a word about you telling me no when I say I want to do this right here. Because in my fantasy, I get what I want. In my fantasy, I ain't got to worry about being criticized. Did I hit it right? I ain't got to worry about it. I, I, you came too quick. Y'all not gonna help me right there. I ain't gotta worry about nobody criticizing me, talking about I'm a minute man. In my fantasy, guess what? It's just my fantasy. I ain't gotta worry about no constructive criticism. Do it like this. Go this way. Stroke it like this. Touch it like that. Lick it like that. I ain't gotta worry about nobody telling me to do it that way. In my fantasy, I do it how I wanna do it. Oh, this is real talk, table talk, in the church, real talk, table talk, in the church, right? In my fantasy, I don't have to worry about boundaries. Nothing is off limits. In my fantasy, if I want to have a menage a trois, I can just imagine somebody else just popped in the room. Oh, let's go ahead and get this thing going right about now. I want to bring, you know what I'm saying? I want a blonde. I want a brunette. I want a redhead. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, in my fantasy, nothing is off limits. Shoot, y'all know I ain't playing. Y'all know I'm, let's go ahead and tell the truth. In your fantasy, see, some women talk about, you know what? See, I'm tired of this 6-inch in the natural. Let me see what an 8-inch hair like. In my fantasy, let me see what a 9 is. In my fantasy, I want to go a whole foot. Can I? Y'all ain't going to talk to me. No boundaries in my fantasy.
It's in the house. It's in the house.
Oh, yeah, it's in the house. Don't look down now. Don't look down now. Porn has a hold on me. Masturbation has a hold on me. Oh, and then what about sex addicts? All you think about is sex. In the church, thinking about sex, thinking about your next release. And see, that's why you're trying to tell them, well, if you would just give me some, I won't have to masturbate. If you would just give me some, I won't have to watch porn. Oh, the devil is a liar. You understand what you know. You know what you're doing is wrong. But the thing is, are you convicted about the wrong thing that you're doing? See, what Paul had that some of us don't have, he had a conviction. I know it's wrong. And it bothers me that I'm doing the thing that I hate. Oh, see. Some of y'all are not bothered. You just like the fact that it pleases you. Even though it feels good, does it bother you that it's wrong, though? I'm talking to some church addicts in the house, in the house, in the house, in the house. Let's be real. There were some church men who really love God, but their libido was high. Now, woman, we understand you done had a baby and your libido has gone down a little bit. Hormones have changed a little bit. But it don't change the fact that you're dealing with a greedy man. I'm going to help myself right there. I'm going to help myself right there. I'm going to help myself right there. Because if you don't keep him fed, you better believe that there is somebody willing to step up and feed him. And the truth be told, a lot of the men are struggling because they're not being fed at the household. But if you don't have no ring on it, you better not be trying to feed nobody. Because you're not legal. Oh, no, don't look down now. Don't smirk now. Don't act like I ain't talking to you. If you think I'm talking about, I'm talking directly to you. Yes, I am talking directly to you. Oh, yeah, they don't say that in church no more. Speak, Lord. No ring? No ding ding. Oh, yes. You got a problem. Your problem is really with God. Might go. He says, so I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me. Oh, there's something living on the inside of us. That sinful nature pulling on you. That's why you wrestle with before you about to do it. I shouldn't do this. You're going back and forth. I shouldn't do this. I know better. I know this is not right. I shouldn't do this.
See, thank God you have not fallen on that side with the people who have no conviction. It shows that it bothers you. That even though I'm doing wrong, it bothers me. That even though I'm doing wrong, I know it's not pleasing to God. Not always submitted. Every day I don't obey. But it messes with my heart that what I'm doing bothers God. And you be asking God, God, help me. Because I don't want to do this no more. Is there anybody that know what I'm talking about? Where you've been there and you say, God, help me. I'm tired of doing this. I don't want to do this anymore, God. But this thing has a hold on me, God. I don't know how to turn it loose. I don't know how to take my hands off of it, God. I don't know how to stop, God. My speech is good to where I'm saying I'm not going to do it anymore, but my actions, God, it's just, my actions just keep ruling me, God. It just keeps ruling me. Go, Mike. It says what? He says, and I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. He said, I want to do what is right, but I can't. Can you identify this? See, most of us are unwilling to admit that right there, saying, okay, there's nothing in me that's good. Because see, some of us, we think we God's gift to everybody. We think the world will stop turning if we cease to exist. Hey, Joseph! And him. No competition between me and you, Joseph. He loved me, though. I'm the voice he'd be responding to when he was in the womb. He would kick every time he heard my voice. Can y'all relate to this? It's nothing good. Oh, but when I call on that name. See, some of us still believe that there is power in the name of Jesus. Some of us still believe that there is healing in the name of Jesus. Some of us still believe that there is deliverance in the name of Jesus. Some of us still believe that there is breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about when you came. You better call on that name. Go, Mike. Oh, Josiah, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. See, that's when you say, Lord, help. Because I am aware that I want to do good, but I don't do it. It's the thing that I don't want to do that I do any way. Go. See, but if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does this. Understand? There is something working on the inside of your members. Right? Something working on the inside of your members. Give me Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse number 5, KJV. There is something working on the inside of your members. Right? Because all Paul is saying is something else is working on the inside of me. When I find myself not wanting to do something, but I find myself doing it anyhow. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 5, KJV. He says, mortify therefore your members, right? Which are upon the earth. So he's telling you there is something working on the inside of you. Sin is this thing that's working on the inside of you. And we're showing you the sinful nature. But he's saying you got to kill the members that won't allow sin to operate. That wants to give sin permission to do. That wants to give sin permission to make you bring displeasure to God. That makes you want to break the heart of God. That makes you want to ignore the convictions of the Lord. He said, you got to mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. fornication. And we told you in the Greek, fornication is defined as what? Illicit sex or adultery, right? But it's also seen in the Greek as being idolatry. Being drawn away by someone to now worship other idols, right? Because we're still talking about addiction. When it's not sex, it's what about workaholics and shopaholics? Retail therapy. Dealing with an issue, but if I can just go and buy me new shirt, new shoes, a new outfit, it's going to make everything all right. You're addicted to it. Yeah, give me some new hair. I'm just saying, you know, y'all know, jewelry, makeup, what'd you say? Purses. Oh, look at y'all. Oh, yeah, they bold now. Go ahead, throw something else out there. What else y'all like to shop for? Somebody going to resort back to, if I can just buy me a hamburger. Ooh, if I could just buy me a hamburger. There's nothing like a good hamburger. But I'm really about to come down some of y'all alley right here. And I want you to know I'm talking about myself first, everything that I'm talking about. Because see, some of y'all are addicted to tattoos and piercings. We know tattoos, it's an addictive behavior. You get one, and you're already thinking about your next one. Because you like the fact that your body has become a living canvas. I'm putting my body on display with my piercings and with my tattoos. I like the reactions and the looks and the stares of what people say. And I like the questions that they ask me. Well, what does that mean? What is symbolic about that tattoo? And why did you get it right there? Oh, it makes you feel some type of way about your tattoo. You understand? And then some of us, we try to downplay it like me. Well, I got a cross tattoo. What does it matter because you got a cross? What does it matter that you got a scripture? What does it even matter that you got the face of the so-called Christ on your arm? Or you got the lion proclaiming that it is the Lion of Judah? What does it matter that you got Psalms 23 written up your forearm? What does it matter? What does it matter? What does it matter that you have written that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want? Is he really your shepherd? I know you've written it on your body, but you're not even adhering to it. You're not even following. You're not even coming subject. He's not your shepherd. So guess what? You wrote a lie on your arm. I know you're not going to like me right there. Yeah, you like taking your shirt off for people to look at the tattoos on your chest and on your back. You like the fact that your tattoo gives you an opportunity to tell a story. Well, this one means this, huh? This is in remembrance of this person right here. Why you can't just have a memory of them in your heart rather than marking yourself up, marking your body up? Oh, because the reality is you want attention. You are addicted to attention. I know you're not going to say it, but I'm going to say it for you. You love attention. You love attention. You love attention. You love attention. Yes, you do. That's why you pierce your nose and pierce your eye up here. Put an earring right here. Put an earring on your eyelid. On your chest if you're a man and woman. But at the core, it also tells you that you are addicted to pain. You ain't gonna like me right there. Because whether you get a tattoo or whether you get a piercing, baby, it is a significant amount of pain that accompanies both. Oh, when you like pain. You like it rough in some areas of your life. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I know you want this talk, and you want to talk, great God. I'm so tired of going through all this pain in my life. But every opportunity you get a chance to mark yourself, but guess what? You are experiencing pain. So you are lying talking about you don't like pain. You love it. You love it. Matter of fact, you are addicted to it. But you love your tattoo.
Huh?
I didn't hear you. Is that a pass? No, that ain't no pass. Because I'm telling you, I would be tatted up. Yes, I would. I wouldn't have stopped. But God told me to stop. God told me to stop. And see, the reality is sometimes I get a little jealous. I start dealing with jealousy and envy. Why you told me to stop? Why does it seem like you're okay, but that person getting a tattoo? No. See, I love God. See, God will tell you this right here. See, no. Keep your eyes on me. Because, see, everybody doesn't have a heart like you have. Everybody's heart is not softened. And everybody's heart is not inclined or leaning or turned in my direction like yours is. See, I can tell you something that moves on your heart. I told them not to get another tattoo, but they ignored my voice. They didn't want to hear what I had to say. You understand? They wanted to be their own God. Matter of fact, their body, when it became a living canvas, all they were doing was making their body become an idol. They idolized their body. Oh, yeah. But thank God that you had an ear to hear me that you able to take my no. See, how many times we talked about that? Hearing or having a healthy no. Let me ask you something. Have you ever researched the origin of tattoos or piercings? Nate, you just second week in a row, you just leave me out here on this cliff. No, I'm asking you a serious question. Have you ever looked up the origin of tattoos and piercings? See, God took me to the origin. He said, go to the origin of the tattoo. What you think is just a fad has idolatry twisted all in it from pagan cultures. Y'all don't like that. Y'all don't like that. You don't like that. I mean, he even took me down to the basics. He say, can you be sure that they even tatting you up with a clean needle? See, you gambling right there with your life because you don't know if the needle was infected. Because a person can come in and be tatted up and have full-blown AIDS or HIV and they don't have to disclose that. Can you even be sure that you got tatted with a clean, sterile needle? I said, well, God, I watched him take it out of the package. But see, you know, God, he said, okay. Because you think you're smart. See, God will talk to you like that. You think you're smart. But did you see where they took the ink from? Was it a new bottle of ink? Or were they dipping a new needle and use ink? I said, I didn't think about that. I think I'm going to go get checked, God. Because, see, we don't think about that. Oh, no, somebody, you better go look up the origin of tattoos and piercings. See, on a spiritual level, when you put that hole in your body, meaning you broken this flesh, on a spiritual side, you just open the door for all type of things to enter in. Notice when your skin got broken with the tattoo, how much you now struggle with addiction. No, it's not necessarily addicting to a substance. Not just vanity, pride, arrogance, idolatry. You have become addicted to these things. Because think about it, especially when you get your first one, oh, you're going to make sure it's on display. You want everybody to know you got tatted up. When you get pierced, you want everybody to know you got pierced. Especially if you got, you know how some females, they get their third piercing up here. Oh, they when they first get it, they hair going to be in their ponytail the whole month. Huh? They going to always talk to you this way, huh? Why are you turning your head to the side looking crazy? Because you're trying to let me see your piercing. Why? It has become an idol to you. So he's telling you, kill it. The fornication, the uncleanness, the inordinate affection, the evil concupiscence, right? And the covetousness, which is idolatry. See, as an addict, you want more. Give me more. That's about, you can look at folk, they run out of places on their live canvas to tattoo themselves, now they tattoo on their face. What? Now you crazy. You are some kind of crazy to be putting a tattoo in the middle. You ain't, okay, then when you run out of space on your face, you gonna go and just shave your head so you now you can put, I can't. Some people change themselves to make themselves look like animals and stuff. It's an addiction. Because what I thought was good enough is not enough. I have to have more. I'm craving more. See, if you will be real, even as a Christian, you crave getting another tattoo. You want to get tatted up. But it goes to show you, idolatry. Addiction is nothing more than idolatry. You worship the thing that you are dependent upon. You worship the thing that you're dependent upon. How is it some of these things have taken the place of God? And some of y'all think I miss you. I ain't miss you, but I'm going to bring this thing all the way back around. Because Starbucks is your God. You won't give God no tithe. You won't give God no offering. But you're going to make sure you're going to give your money to your God, that little woman on Starbucks. Can I have an iced cappuccino frappe? My God is willingly give you however much the cup of coffee costs. $10. But if the church asks you for some money, Lord, why the church need all that? They don't need all that money. Starbucks don't ask you about yours, though. You willingly. Because she got you hooked. Now, am I saying drinking coffee is a sin? No. But some of y'all are so dependent upon coffee. Why you can't ask God to wake you up on your job? Hey, Father, wake me up, God. You drinking coffee, and 5-hour drink, coffee, and pouring a little bit of Hennessy in your coffee. y'all think y'all slick. Little scotch in your coffee. Little Alizé in your coffee. Little goose in your coffee. Trying to cut down on the smell. You understand? But it's showing you you've depended upon that thing. Anything that you are dependent upon, you have fallen into idol worship. Think about it. That's why certain women must be careful when they're so dependent upon the man. You have indirectly pushed this man into a place of idol, as an idol in your life. And what the Bible lets us know about idols, God is going to tear it down. I come to declare to you, some of us who are addicts in the church, God is going to tear down your idol. I'm talking about where it cannot be rebuilt. And that's good for some of y'all. Your porn addiction. Oh, it's Lord. See, somebody ought to say, right there, do it, Lord. Yes, some people have graduated from soft porn. Soft porn doesn't do it for them. They need the hardcore. That's why they move on to bestiality and all type of things and watching dolphins and watching donkeys and watching horses and all kind of stuff. What? Some kind of crazy. No, it's the real struggle that people deal with in the church. Y'all want to act like what I'm saying is something so far-fetched. No, it happens in the church. People serve in the church and are addicted to porn, struggling with pornography in the church. And they're questioning the power of God. Because they're saying, God, break this addiction off of me. Oh, so you ought to thank God you go to a church that operates in real power. I ain't up here to be no motivational speaker. I lay my hands on you and we're going to cast that devil out of you. Oh yeah, loose your whole spirit of addiction.
Come out.
Yeah, we're gonna talk to that devil and come subject and come on out. Because some folks don't believe that. Demonology is real. Oh, that was for Jesus' day. You a lie. Think about it. You are demonically possessed. If there is a behavior that you cannot stop, it is evidence that is the demonic force in operation. I just can't seem to stop it. Why? Because it's a devil. It's a little person on the inside of you, controlling you. Some of y'all on my hit list. I'm just buying my time. Buying my time. I'm going to get myself girded up real good. I'm going to come out to them little people. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm going to come out to them little people. Y'all all right? Real talk, table talk. I wish I could sit on this table. I'm not. I wish I could sit on that table. Somebody just sit on that table and give y'all a poll. Y'all all right? I want to make sure you all right, because it's real talk, table talk. Sometimes we got to get on top of the table to deal with some of these real issues. Sometimes we got to come across the table to deal with some of these real issues.